Jesus sure does use a lot of metaphors for himself in John's gospel. He's the way, he's the gate, he's the light, he's the bread, and next week he'll be the vine. But this week, Jesus is a shepherd. And not to make him sound too arrogant or anything, but according to him, he's the good shepherd. The kind of shepherd who, as we heard read this morning and as we talked about in our time with children, lays down his life for his friends. Okay, so I don't know about you, but growing up, I had a pretty flat, two-dimensional understanding of Jesus as the good shepherd. Some of that comes from this passage in John's gospel, and some of it comes from Luke's parable of the lost sheep. You know it, right? Ish? Okay. One sheep wanders off. The shepherd realizes that one in a flock of 100 is missing, and off that shepherd goes to save that one lost sheep. And as I recall that parable and this image being taught from the pulpit, it usually went something like this. Jesus is willing to get you out of whatever awful messes you got yourself in, just like this stupid sheep. Jesus will bring us back when we stray in sinfulness. Jesus is the good shepherd who has to traipse over all creation to restore straying, sinning, stupid sheep back into the eternal fold. Does that ring a bell at all? Show of hands? No? Okay. That's a decent number of hands. I mean, honestly, I can remember whole sermons where, like, the driving point was about how stupid sheep were. About how they had the smallest brains and they made terrible decisions that inevitably left them to their own devices. About how sheep weren't smart enough to take care of themselves and needed a shepherd to save them. But not once do I remember a sermon where we talked about the landscape that might lend itself to leaving a sheep in danger. Not once do I remember a sermon where we talked about the wolves waiting to consume and devour sheep who never asked to be consumed or devoured in the first place. Not once do I remember a sermon where the sheep were treated with dignity or value, where they were actually creatures worth saving. All I remember is how stupid sheep are and how much they needed the shepherd's help. If I may be so bold, and I may, what a waste of moral and spiritual imagination. What a waste of a good parable about a liberating God and shepherd who is always mindful of the landscape, mindful of the wolves, and mindful of any sheep who may be dispossessed by violence out of their control. This image of Jesus as a good shepherd ought to conjure joy over the notion that even if a whole flock keeps baaing back, that everything's fine, the water is cool, the grass is green, the wolves are in their dens. If there's one sheep out there that baas back. That's not true for me. We have a God that will traverse heaven and earth for that one dispossessed, disenfranchised, hurting, anxious sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When you hear this part of the passage we read today, how do you hear it? Just take a minute. When you hear the phrase, lays down his life, do you hear the good shepherd dies? Or even further, the good shepherd has to die because these stupid sheep keep sinning? Do you hear that? What if I told you that the original Greek here for the word life is psyche or soul? What if you heard the passage this way instead? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his full-souled self to his sheep. The good shepherd gives his full-souled self to his sheep. Might seem like a minor translation shift, but isn't it worth pausing there for a minute? See, when we simply read it as another passage about Jesus' inevitable death, we disembody Jesus, separating him from his own complex spirituality and soulfulness, making him merely a pawn or a tool in God's story of redemption. Are you catching me? Let me try one more time. See, when we simply read it as another passage about Jesus' inevitable death, we disembody Jesus, separating him from his own complex spirituality and soulfulness, making him merely a pawn or a tool in God's story of redemption. But I've told you from this pulpit, and I'll tell you again, no, Jesus did not have to die to save us from our straying, sinful, stupid ways. Jesus, in offering his soulful self to the dispossessed, found himself at odds with the wolves and suffered the consequences. But when we don't tell the story in the right order, we destroy Jesus' soulful acts of liberation. See, this depiction of a shepherd with soul is meant to conjure for us the kind of shepherd who knows what it feels like to be a sheep. Lost in dangerous terrain, afraid, alone, and dispossessed. This imagery is meant to invoke a mystical Jesus who is shaped by empathy, whose full soul compels him to act and move and live and love in the world. A Jesus who's able to acknowledge, like Dr. King, about his commitment to sanitation workers in Memphis before his death, that the central ethical and spiritual question isn't, if I stop to help this man in need, what will happen to me? But the question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's a good shepherd. This image of the good shepherd is meant to depict for us a Jesus whose soul is so aligned with the experience of the sheep that he is moved by their suffering and their soulfulness. The good shepherd doesn't save us because we are stupid. And cannot save ourselves. The good shepherd saves us because we are worthy of being saved. See, Jesus. Jesus has an imaginative soul. A soul that is attuned to the suffering of a sheep that didn't ask to be ravaged by wolves, that didn't ask to be separated from the flock, that didn't ask to be pushed back and forth across global borders and geopolitical conflicts, that didn't ask to be running from war and gang violence, that didn't ask to be displaced from one housing unit to the next in order to redevelop an area of town, that didn't ask to be enslaved, that didn't ask to be shuffled in to pick tomatoes and then shuffled out when they're no longer needed. Singers of soul, particularly the kind of soul rooted in black artistry, will tell you that you gotta sing with an ugly face when you sing soul. You gotta sing like you're hurting, like you get the pain, like you get the isolation, like you get what it's like to be a sheep surrounded by wolves, surrounded by policies that don't treat your life like it matters, surrounded by landscapes that build businesses and coffee shops and town squares that police you and question your presence at every turn. Surrounded by systems that disregard and manipulate and prey on your worth. Jesus is a soulful shepherd who knows how to sing with an ugly face, who loves to sing with an ugly face, who loves and celebrates the sheep that are honest about how bad the landscape is and how violent the wolves are. Can be. And by the way, if you've ever wondered where this idea about stupid, sinful sheep needing a savior comes from, would you journey with me another minute? I got nodded heads, so I'm gonna go with it. Could it be that a theology that incessantly, even neurotically, focuses on individual sin and depravity at the same time does a fine job detracting people from developing a different kind of moral and spiritual imagination about the sheep among them that are actually suffering? Shall I again, or did you get it? Could it be that a theology that incessantly, even neurotically, focuses on individual sin and depravity at the same time does a fine job detracting people from developing a different kind of moral and spiritual imagination about the sheep among them that are really suffering? Let me be more direct. If folks shaped by white Protestant theology spend all their time and energy worried about their individual sin and themselves, worried about how stupid they are and how desperately they need God to save them, what room do they have for a different story altogether? Wow. Why would they spend time thinking about the landscape or the wolves? Thinking about how lost sheep are emblematic of the dispossessed among them when they are wound up in their own salvation. What a time consumer. See, if we think that the whole story of our salvation is about our individual being, sin being addressed by our individual God, we will keep missing the story the good and soulful shepherd is trying to tell us about our collective salvation. We'll spend all our time as guilty, stupid sheep waiting on a God who isn't even trying to save us that way. Do you want to sing with the soulful shepherd? Then be a sheep that pays attention to the landscape and the wolves. Be a sheep that celebrates a God who would run after the dispossessed and violated and afraid. Stop calling sheep stupid. Call them worth saving. Stop calling yourself stupid. Call yourself a participant in the work of collective salvation. Stand up to the wolves. Traverse the terrain. Drink from living waters. Believe that this soulful shepherd will do all it takes to restore the flock. Believe that this soulful shepherd isn't worried about baselines or market values or the numbers when it comes to the salvation of her flock. Believe that this shepherd has offered her full-souled self to the world. And even though God's salvation of the dispossessed may not be about you, you better believe it most certainly includes you. Because our good shepherd needs a good flock that's ready to move no matter the danger ahead to find that one lost, valuable, beautiful sheep. Amen.